Is the Biden administration just out of touch with the crisis at our southern border as Vice President Harris's aides are, quote, panicked about her position as border czar? We'll talk about that more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live.
Blinken heading to Costa Rica today to meet with Central American foreign ministers to discuss. As you've heard, this is the goal of the Biden administration. They want to find out how to stem the flow of migrants into the United States. Kamala Harris is supposed to be in charge of this, yet Blinken has still not visited the southern border to see what's going on there in person, and neither has the vice president, despite being named the point person.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
As far as Anthony Blinken going to Central America, it's a waste of time. It's pure ignorance, because all they got to do is reverse what they're doing. Go back to the Trump policies. Their policies are driving this surge at the border. Even the president of Mexico said that.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's start off with some numbers. April. We don't have the May numbers yet because May just ended, but April had the highest ever illegal crossings, over 178,000 encounters on our southern border. That means Customs and Border Patrol, they actually encountered 178,000 people trying to cross into the United States illegally through Mexico. 178,000, highest in history. But get this, only 3,000 were deported. Now, that's an all-time low for ICE. They've got double that amount in officers. And right now, they have a caseload of 3.2 million cases and a 20-year high in border crossings. I mean, Dad, I want to go to you right on that before we get to some of the stuff with the Kamala Harris team in panic mode, as reported by CNN. They use the word panic. 3.2 million cases. That could take about, 50 to 75 years to go through, or 100?
It's an impossible task.
Eventually you just have to waive it all, which is their goal.
No, of course. So what they're going to say is we've got a judicial crisis now at the border. So now it's a judicial crisis at the border, not just a manpower crisis that's operating at the border. We actually have a situation where judicially we cannot reach the number of cases. And Andy, this is setting up a prelude, exactly as Jordan said, a prelude to, well, we're going to have to deal with some kind of mass increase of our asylum issues or mass increase of accepting people in, because it's impossible to deal with these numbers rather than trying to fix the problem.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. What is happening here is a crisis in all fronts, including a judicial crisis, as you mentioned. But you've got a crisis caused by the forsaking and the abandoning of responsibilities and programs that had been initiated by President Trump, endorsed by the president of Mexico, and that were working. Now we're in a panic mode. Now the vice president is freaking out, running all over the place, going to Guatemala, going to El Salvador, going to Honduras. Blinken is going to Guatemala, to other countries in Central America, trying to figure out the cause of murder. That's not what you need to do. When you have a murder, you go to the scene of the crime and you witness it. The problem there is that once they witness it, they own it.
Well, she's not going to do it.
No, she's not. Here's the thing about what Jordan was talking about concerning the extremely low amount of deportations. When President Biden first came into office, he pledged that there would be a 100-day moratorium on deportations. A federal court blocked that executive order and said he could not do that. So what is the administration doing? They're going around this court order and simply decreasing deportations anyway by putting such strict policies on the Border Patrol that essentially they can't deport very many people at all. And that's how he got around the fact that the court said you can't do it.
But one of the things that I think of is they're gearing up for something here, Jordan. What, and you alluded to that. There's some plan on this. They're going to use this for something.
I think the caseload gets so high that it's absurd to think that they will ever be able to work through this. And so because of that, they'll have to grant some kind of amnesty or waiver into the country, whether it's for a period of time so that they have time to work through the cases. These people will never appear in court. They're not being tracked. They're not being traced. And so I think that's the only idea possible here, is that they will ultimately, all these people will be staying in the United States of America. And we know that because there's 3.2 million active cases about it. Those people are here. We'll come back. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3010.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we went through the numbers, but also I think it's important to point out how is the Harris team focusing and reacting to when President Biden made her the head of the border crisis, put her in charge of it. This is from CNN quoting, Harris aides appeared to, quote, panic, according to one of the officials, out of concern that her assignment was being mischaracterized and could be politically damaging if she were linked to the border. And you go on to say that Harris and her staff had made it clear they want it to only focus her position on diplomatic efforts inside Mexico and inside the Northern Triangle countries of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, not the border.
Is that that's being framed this way politically?
Right, because she wasn't really in charge with actual border crossings, but more working with these countries to limit people trying to cross the border. The fact is, this is a vice president who got probably one of the worst jobs in Washington because the president wasn't willing to take it on himself. And the vice president's team doesn't have the abilities, nor do they have the power. They're not the president to carry out the functions of a job this massive when you have the largest flow of people ever encountered by ICE last month.
So,
pandemic. Those people are not vaccinated.
Which begs this question from a policy standpoint, and that is, and I'll start with Harry on this, what is the policy? Because I can't figure it out. We're going to get to the root cause, which, by the way, they again want to reiterate that root cause includes climate change. It's another source familiar with the ongoing discussions on the regional strategy said the vice president's office has been soliciting research on issues ranging from governance to economic development to climate change from foundations that study and work in the region. So again, this climate change, as if that's affecting this mass migration through our borders.
So I think you ask a brilliant question, Jay. What is the source of the problem? Well, the source of the problem, quite clearly and unmistakably, is the Joe Biden administration. It is essentially a disaster unfolding before our own eyes. So President Biden has engaged in a surreptitious and duplicitous open borders policy that is actually worse than having a pure, unabashed open borders policy. Why? Because it hamstrings border agents. The Biden administration approach, along with Kamala Harris, is grounded in deniability. deniability of the facts that appear right before our own eyes. Deniability with respect to his administration's responsibilities because they reverse Trump-era policies that were working. Deniability that enables his administration now to blame President Trump and the climate, which apparently changed on January the 21st, 2021.
You know, I want to jump in here on 1 second. And that here's the thing that I think Washington is... They're tone deaf on this thing. I mean, they're completely out of touch with what's really going on. And it's like they're going in there with their eyes closed.
I think you're right. Completely out of touch. I also think it's something we've discussed on this broadcast before, Jay. There's not a desire to solve this problem. And that's not just an empty accusation. If you look at these numbers, if you look at the numbers that Jordan laid out, it is literally not possible to be at an all-time high for border crossings and at an all-time low for deportations. That is a policy decision, Jay, to not solve this problem, to let the problem exacerbate. Now, why? You and Jordan speculated. I think there's probably a mass grant of amnesty and maybe some other executive action that is coming. But Jay, the other piece of evidence I would point people to, if you wanted to solve the problem, the two things that you have to do, you have to have operational control of the border on the one hand, and then you have to have more resources to address the existing problem. Jay, you know this. There are multiple bipartisan proposals in the House and the Senate to send more judges down to adjudicate the pending processes. You know who opposes that? The Biden administration. Well, that's why that hasn't passed.
This is according to Washington Post piece. So this is Washington Post reporting here. The ICE under President Biden is an agency on probation. This is from the Washington Post. The new administration has rejected calls from some Democrats to eliminate the agency entirely. But Biden has placed ICE deportation officers on a leash so tight that some say their work is being functionally abolished.
No, I think it has been abolished. I mean, think about this. How did 178,000 encounters occurred? Those are the people we know about that ICE and Border Patrol agents actually came into contact with. What about the thousands, tens of thousands, could be 100,000 more that didn't come into contact with, weren't encountered, don't have court cases, aren't part of the 3.1 million caseload? And then you tie that to the fact that their hands are tied, that they're functionally have been abolished. Think about that. Highest surge at our border in history. Since we've been keeping track of these numbers, in the middle of a pandemic, which is still hitting a lot of the world, especially the developing world,
right,
like the Northern Triangle and rural parts of Mexico. And so, again, while we may be coming out of it, we're actually putting our own country at risk by allowing all this max influx of people in. I mean, for goodness sakes, you couldn't just jump on a plane right now and fly all over the world where you want to go. But if you're an illegal immigrant that isn't vaccinated, who could certainly have COVID or been exposed to it, their kids carry it as well, you're walking right into the country. And you're going to walk into a caseload, which is it's something that can never be whittled down.
No.
Because as long as the numbers even stay steady, you're going to keep adding and adding and adding to those numbers. But this gets the idea of that fundamental abolishment. This is an agency that will eventually fail because it's not able to do its job. And when it fails and the immigration court fails, we've got all these people we've got to take care of.
You're exactly right. So I think what's happening is you look at all this together, the surge at the border, the lack of additional judges being placed, the numbers, outrageous numbers that you can't possibly catch up. You got calls from the left of the Democratic Party saying we should be getting rid of ICE. And then, again, quoting the Washington Post, Andy, but Biden has placed ICE deportation officers on a leash so tight that some say their work is being functionally abolished.
Well, he essentially abolished ICE by doing what he did. It's like me telling a deputy sheriff, don't go out there and enforce the law, maybe in a few instances here and there, but I mean, I really am going to punish you and sanction you if you enforce the law too vigorously and too much do your duty in taking arrests and apprehensions of criminals. Now, what kind of a political or legal enforcement system is that if a prosecutor is telling a law enforcement officer, I want you to do your duty, but not too much. Don't overdo it. Just a little bit here and there. And meanwhile, as Jordan says, you've got this pouring mass of people coming across the border, bringing all kinds of diseases and epidemics and so forth from their native countries, which we are not controlling. We're saying we're coming out of it in the United States, but we're letting it end by one door, we're coming out of it, and by the other door, we're coming into it again. But this is an effective, and from a newspaper as liberal democratic as the Washington Post, to hear this criticism of President Biden, it must be pretty bad, Jeff.
I've got, I'm holding in my hand a lawsuit that we filed against the United States Department of Homeland Security, against Customs and Borders, against Immigration and Naturalization, and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Next segment of the program, we're going to tell you what that lawsuit's about and why we filed it. But it just begs the question, Wes, of they're just completely out of touch with what's going on. This is a real crisis.
It is a real crisis. It's a national security crisis because we've already caught people who are on the terror watch list crossing the border. It's a moral crisis because of the sex trafficking and the human trafficking. It is a crisis because of the drug cartels and how they are using the border to get their goods across, and also they're trafficking in people in order to get the goods across. That same Washington Post article that you referenced, Jay, says that the internal restrictions placed on these 6,000 Border Patrol agents are so strict that they themselves say, here's what they're doing, child care, paperwork, working out, or literally sitting and doing nothing. The end result, Jay, this is the open borders that the left has wanted all along.
I was going to say, de facto, they've got this, Harry. I mean, they're getting, Jordan was exactly right. De facto, they're getting exactly what they want.
Absolutely. And I think the Biden administration has become an expert in one thing, trying to have it both ways. And I think with a compliant media, they will, in the short run, continue to succeed. But I think their open borders policy in the long run will backfire. It will contribute to sex trafficking, drug cartel activity. It will contribute to rising homicide rates in Chicago, in Baltimore, and elsewhere. But there is a secondary problem, which is the Biden administration has essentially identified American citizens as America's enemies. And so if you look at the Department of Defense, what have they done? Well, they have hired Bishop Garrison, who has identified extremists in the United States. Who are the extremists? Those are individuals who supported President Trump. So we don't really care about individuals that are crossing our border illegally, but we are essentially claiming, as part of the Biden administration's effort to root out extremism, that all Trump supporters are extremists.
All right, folks, we come back. We're going to take more of your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Is there a failure by the Biden administration? Has there been? Again, do you get a panicked sense at all? Now, the media, they barely give you that. They buried away the stories. They give you the truth about how their team is feeling. But do you feel that that's being exposed to the country, that they are panicked at the Biden team? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, and comments on Facebook and YouTube. Howard on YouTube wrote in, how is the Biden administration going to help Northern Triangle countries economically? Outsource jobs and send aid money? I mean, what these are countries that have not done well economically for years, poorly run governments, dangerous to be a government official in a lot of these countries. It's not to say that there aren't good people in these countries who could make good American citizens. I'm sure they are on the list to become American citizens, waiting their time in turn. But Dad, when you've got a caseload of 3.2 million and you're one of those good people who we should be letting into our country on a path to citizenship, they're not going to ever get in.
No, what you said in the very beginning of the broadcast is the absolute truth. It's Rahm Emanuel, remember, famously said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And Fan, it appears to me that they are taking this crisis at the border and creating out of it this, we're going to have to ICE can't do its job. So, you know, basically they've abolished ICE, according to the Washington Post. The judges can't keep up with this number of cases. So why send more judges down there? And then it just isn't. And then she's going to get to the bottom line of this study and problem. And that'll take another year and a half. And they're going to blame the climate crisis for the migration crisis.
And Jay, it's happening at the expense of those good people that Jordan is talking about that for more than 200 years have come to America because it's the land of opportunity. Is there more opportunity here? Of course there is. That's a good thing, Jay. And our immigration system is supposed to provide legal channels through which people can come to this country. But the people who are trying to follow the process, that system right now, Jay, is completely swamped. So the people who are trying to do it the right way are the ones that are paying the highest price for this. Look, all of these programs for coming in to the United States, Jay, they're still being utilized. They're just being utilized by people who don't qualify for them. And so the people that have tried to get in the process that are standing in the line, Jay, they are being supplanted by literally traffickers and cartel members and people who have not followed the process. It is costing the people who are trying to do it the right way the very most, Jay.
We have filed a FOIA demand with the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Customs and Border Protection, U.S. Immigration and Customs, and U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services regarding records of the handling of the border crisis related to threats or crimes, the cancellation or postponement of Operation Talon, and the arrest of persons on the FBI's terrorism watch list. Remember, that went up and then came down off the website of the agencies. And we had to go to federal court on this. So we are now in court on this, Andy, seeking enforcement. Now that we go to court on our for the American Center for Law and Justice. So those of you that are members of the ACLJ, you are with us, so to speak, in this court battle. But that's the only way that we get information, which then helps Congress do their oversight.
That's right, Jay. What we've found out in this situation is that we're being stonewalled by the government yet again. They won't tell us why they didn't talk challenge and rather talk challenge and wouldn't talk crisis. We wanted to know what that was all about. We wanted to know what a variety of things were about. Instead, we were stonewalled. We were told nothing by the government. We were not given any information. And so we did what we do in the ACLJ, and that is we file lawsuits and institute litigation. In this case, we filed a lawsuit against these agencies in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, and we're asking a federal judge to compel the production of documents and information so that we can find out just what it is that has happened at the border, down at the southwestern border, and that is causing this turmoil and this chaos that is going on down there, and what was in the thought processes of the Biden administration. So we are going to go to court and we're going to persist in this. And if we are successful, we're going to get information which we can share not only with our members, but with Congress in making legislation and in taking action.
Dan, another part of this too is going at why there was a press release on the Homeland Security website about two Yemenis that were caught by Border Patrol who were on the terror watch list. It had their photos. It was a pretty lengthy press release, and it disappeared within 24 hours.
Customs and Border Patrol was doing their job, Jordan, they apprehended two known terrorists, two individuals that we know have engaged in terrorist activities. They detained them, they apprehended them, and then they posted publicly that they had done so. Somehow, Jordan, there was a decision made, very likely by a political, that would be who would have the authority inside the agency to do it, to take that notification down. We have demanded in this lawsuit to know why that happened. We have demanded to know who made that decision. Again, it's almost surely a political. It's right in line with the rest of the sidelining that we're seeing. And Jordan, on that particular component, I think the most important question that we are asking is, are you apprehending known terrorists now if they come across their border? If you're not telling us about these two that we know crossed and you initially apprehended, has there been a decision made if a known terrorist crosses the southern border to not apprehend them? Is that why we're not posting them now? We want to know that in this lawsuit, Jordan.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, so this all combines into this, into that lawsuit. We filed the Freedom of Information Act request. They failed to meet the timeline. So now we're in court on this. And I think, again, it goes to all those issues that were happening right at the beginning of the Biden administration, right as the crisis began.
But you have said something at the beginning of this broadcast that I think has to be reiterated. And that is, they're using this. I mean, Jordan, they are using what you laid out clearly, and I think rightly, that when you get the system gets so overwhelmed, their only choice is going to be saying, Wes, well, this system doesn't work anymore, so scrap the system, which ICE is basically saying, according to the Washington Post, is already happening.
Yeah, they're doing that already. They really are. They have an agenda, and they are very clever and creative about going after that agenda. And to what Jordan was saying about people who are coming in, the Yemeni terrorists, for example, what we do know from the early months of the Biden administration as well as the Trump administration, we think that everyone's coming from Mexico or Central America. There are thousands and thousands of people apprehended every year, the ones we apprehend, who are from Europe, from Asia, from other places around the world, including the Middle East. And not only that, here's the thing about the whole Northern Triangle thing and Kamala Harris not wanting to deal with the border. She wants to talk to the Northern Triangle countries. Statistically, I looked at it this morning on the Department of Homeland Security, 44% of the illegal immigrants who are encountered, 44%, less than half, are from the Northern Triangle. All the rest of them are either from Mexico or other places in the world. So we're trying to go to the root cause of something that involves less than half of the people crossing the border.
Yeah, so I mean, this gets to the basis of it, which is they'll focus, they're going to divert your attention away from the actual crisis. They don't want people filming it. They don't want people to see. They use various rules and laws to keep the American people from seeing what's happening on our own border, the own crisis. Now, I mean, I think for the second half hour, to talk about how out of touch these people are, this was a tweet from Kamala Harris. And for those of you watching, we'll put it up on the screen. This is on Friday, going into the Memorial Day weekend. And all she writes is, enjoy the long weekend period, with a picture of herself. It's Memorial Day weekend. You constantly are trying to remind people why what we're celebrating or acknowledging on Memorial Day, which is those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country so that we can have and enjoy the freedoms that we do on these long weekends. But it is a day that we take to really observe those who have fallen, who made the ultimate sacrifice so you can have your barbecues and your pool parties and your day off from work. Not everybody gets the day off from work, but a lot of people do. She didn't acknowledge that at all until a speech later left that tweet up. This is how little they care about the America we care about. And I think it just goes right into their mindset. Right into a mindset of radical leftism. Maybe without paper in front of them, they don't even really actually know what Memorial Day means. Can they differentiate it? I mean, you have to wonder. You know, is it another Veterans Day to them, you know, and they think it's the same thing. But to her, it was just about Kamala Harris, which I think is even worse. We'll be back second half hour coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, so just to kind of recap where we are right now as we begin to take some of your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. So April, we don't have the May numbers yet. May just ended, so we'll get those later. But April, we do have the numbers, and it's the highest ever illegal crossings in history on our southern border. Over 178,000, quote, encounters. That means known people, people that came into contact with a U.S. official, Border Patrol, ICE, someone. They're recorded. They should have a court date. Well, we know there's a lot of court dates out there. 3.2 million in a backlog. There's not enough judges in America or attorneys or public defenders, especially who are who specialize in immigration law, to determine which of those are should be thrown into the asylum process, which is backlogged but not like that, or should be going through regular immigration court, and thus they crossed illegally and be deported. Now, at the same time, we had 178,000 encounters at the border. We don't know how many 100,000 plus more crossed illegally. Only 3,000 people got deported. We have 6,000 ICE officers. They deported a half person each.
Yeah, and they're saying that they basically have functionally been shut down by the Biden administration. But if you look at, okay, let's look at the number here. So 3.2 million caseload. If you took every federal court judge, every U.S. district court judge, and every magistrate, and then you took every, let's say, state appellate judge in the United States of America and said, okay, we're going to solve this. We're going to deputize all of these judges. Let's include all the state court judges. And we're gonna knock down this 3.2 million caseload. If you took every judge we had with every lawyer that could do these kind of cases, you would not make a dent into this in the next 5 years.
No, we might do something in the next 25 years, but we're certainly not going to do something in the next 5 years.
And
I think you've put it very well, Jay. If you took everybody, assuming they were trained in immigration law, judges, magistrates, state court judges, superior court judges, traffic court judges, city judges, and so forth, and dispatch them to the border to cover the crisis, and it is a crisis, Biden notwithstanding, Harris notwithstanding, and you took them down there to try to adjudicate these cases of people coming across our border and see who falls into what category, you couldn't do this job in decades. That's how long it would take. Decades to do it.
Yeah, I want to go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. David in Texas, online 4. Hey, David, welcome to Sekulow. You're on the air.
So, thank you, sir, for taking my call. My question and comment is this. My comment is I live 18 miles from the Rio Grande, and down where I'm at, we are having encounters all the time with people. I'm still going to call them illegals. And it's getting to the point, they're just not your run-of-the-mill people coming over looking for work. There are sex offenders. There are all kinds of criminal elements coming across. And I know people have had encounters with them. And it's just getting to the point where a lot of people down where I live, they're scared to go outside. And my question is this. If they keep tying up the hands of our government Border Patrol agents and stuff like that, does the state have any right to protect its own borders, whether they be international borders or state borders?
And basically, most of that was gutted by the Supreme Court, and they said no. The federal government can allow you; they can call on the state to
almost
assist.
Like deputize,
yeah, they can deputize the state officials, and certainly some administrations would do that. Not this one. So don't expect, don't blame your state officials because they have been hamstrung by Supreme Court precedent and by this federal government, the Biden administration. They don't want the extra help. They're trying to abolish ICE. And if they can't do it, like, actually do it, they'll just put in enough administrative rules in place where it effectively is abolished.
Well, the Washington Post is saying that's actually happening, that they have effectively abolished it, that the regulations and the restraints that have put in place have caused them to not be able to do their job, which, Jordan, is obvious, and the reason why you said a half a person per agent.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, half a person, 6,000 agents, 3,000 deportations last month, 178,000 known illegal crossings.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
This weekend, Vice President Harris was at the Naval Academy commencement. That was nice of her on this Memorial Day weekend to give the commencement speech there. Of course, she had to get in some climate change, but take a listen to this one, Bite 3.
And just ask any Marine today, would she rather carry 20 pounds of batteries or a rolled up solar panel? And I am positive she will tell you a solar panel, and so would he.
Wes,
I am just so insulted by this woman. First of all, a rucksack doesn't weigh 20 pounds. It weighs a minimum of 40 because I've carried them. But it's not a. This is so ignorant of what a Marine does and of the discipline and the mentality of a United States Marine. And her cackling about it is so off-putting. And I tell you what, I spent 26 years in the Army. I have friends who spent their life in the Army. I still have contact with people who are on active duty in the United States military. Climate change, in spite of what you might hear in the media, is not the hot rock, as we say, for a soldier or a Marine. That's not what they're so concerned about. And not only that, we don't carry 20 pounds of batteries in our rucksacks anyway. I mean, this is blatant ignorance. And if you are a Marine or a soldier, it is an insult to you that she would make that kind of a remark at a commencement. It is so ignorant.
It is unbelievable. But yet that's exactly what's coming out of Washington. Now, Will Haynes, our producer, made some calculations. There's 870 authorized Article III judges, including Supreme Court, appeals, and district. If you divide the federal judges by 3.2 million, that would only be 3,678 cases per judge. So this doesn't include, of course, that doesn't include state judges. Maybe you could get it down to 2,900. Obviously, it doesn't work. So you have to ask yourself, because we like solutions, not just here's the problem. Harry, how do you tackle this?
Well, first and foremost, you have to reverse virtually each and every Biden policy initiative. That's the first step. Secondly, you have to reinstate Trump-era policies, the Remain in Mexico policy, Trump's policy with respect to refugees and asylum entrants. That's two things that we should keep in mind. But third, we need to change the United States Senate and the House of Representatives. If you will recall, Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, said in December that if the Democrats win the two Senate races in Georgia that the Democrats will transform America. And that is precisely what has happened. They have transformed America into lawlessness. And I think that, at the end of the day, is the biggest problem. The Democrats' commitment to lawlessness on steroids.
So one of the things, though, I thought about this. So when you've got a judicial, you have now a judicial crisis, Andy. I mean, this is not just a crisis of the border. Now we have a judicial crisis, and Will's numbers. And it's impossible for a federal court judge to handle 3,600 additional cases on immigration. There's not even that many lawyers that could do this. I mean, this is so you got to take a step back here. And what we try to do is get answers. So we want to know, A, how it got there. That's why we filed the FOIA case. But as important is going to be going forward. So Harry just said you got to get control of the border. You also have to get control of the judicial administration, the process upon which these cases are adjudicated.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. You've got to get control of everything, control of the border, control of the judicial system, control of the fact that we have porous borders, control of the fact that, in fact, we don't have a border with Mexico anymore. We've abolished the border with Mexico. Let's just make a fact statement that we need to make. Biden has killed ICE. ICE is effectively dead or breathing its last breaths, laying on the ground in southwestern part of the United States, because he has gutted it. He has prevented officers from doing their duties. He has sanctioned them for making arrests. He has reversed the policies of the Trump administration, which were working only because they were Trump policies, not because they weren't working. So that's the thing that's really happening in the United States today. We have no border. And let's just face it, the emperor has no clothes.
So here's the political question I have for you, Jordan, and for Than. And I'll let you go first, Jordan. I think you should go first on this, and then Than can respond. And that is, this is going to be an issue. I mean, we're 16 months out from midterm elections. You got a crisis on the border. You got a judicial crisis now on top of this. How does this play out politically?
Politically, you know, it depends on who you are. So there are conservative Americans, most of which are Republicans or independents, who this hits home with. But then there's the left in America, and it's becoming more and more radicalized. I'd say that the mainstream Democrat Party, if you consider yourself part of it now, you're pretty far left. I mean, it's not trying to be nasty. That's just where you would be on the political spectrum, is fairly far left. They don't care about this. This does not register them. They don't mind that it's not in the news every day. They don't care about what's happening at the southern border. They don't want ICE. They don't care about these numbers we're pointing out. It doesn't affect how they vote. Then there is a part of the country where it certainly does affect how they vote, and different people, conservatives, independents, people who want safety, security. So I think what the Biden administration is trying to do is play up that things are calm here in the United States, because if you don't tweet about it, if you don't talk about it, you just put pictures of yourself up on Memorial Day, you don't talk about these numbers, that nothing bad is really happening. And there are a lot of people post-pandemic that would like to buy into that idea, that everything's hunky-dory. We're coming out of a pandemic. Things are opening up. Businesses are having a tough time even finding people to work. That's a good place to be in. So let's not actually deal with problems.
Mm. So, Than, what is the tenor, or what's the sense that you're getting in Washington on this right now among the House and Senate?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that analysis Jordan just gave. It depends on the attention span of the American voter. And look, Washington, D.C. is going to, you know, both sides are going to make an effort to push the political to where they want it to go. But, Jay, ultimately, it's going to be incumbent on groups like ours and the American people to continue looking at the facts on the ground. This is the very reason why we engage in this FOIA practice. And let me just say, the politics can play out how it will. But one of the things that Harry talked about and that Andy talked about, the suspension of Trump-era policies, Jay, one of those was Operation Talent. That was a program that the Trump administration worked with state governments, going back to a previous caller, to track down sex offenders who are illegally present in the United States. Jay, that should be something that every member of the United States Senate, every member of the United States House, and every member of the Biden administration should be in favor of. They have suspended it. We are going to find out through this lawsuit why they did that and if they are doing anything to supplant it. I would tell you this. You asked the political question, Jay. The outcome of the next election will depend on how much the American people pay to the information that we and others discover in places like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, this idea of of reality versus fiction. Here's fiction. This is the Secretary of Homeland Security talking about how the border, it's fine, it's closed, everything's good, we're secure. And people want to believe this. A lot of the country wants to believe this. They don't want to deal with problem after problem. So see, the Democrats, they pick their problems. They pick the pandemic as a problem. They pick masks, they pick this, but they don't want to deal with what's happening on the southern border. Take a listen.
We are elevating our messaging so that the individuals do know that they cannot come to the border. The border is closed. The message is quite clear. Do not come. The border is closed. The border is secure. The border is secure. The border is closed. We've been unequivocal in that.
Precisely that. The border is closed.
The border is closed. And this administration administers and enforces the laws of the United States of America.
Yeah, I mean, so this again, if you believe that, Harry, if you believe that, then everything is fine.
Absolutely. But no rational American should believe that. Instead, rational Americans should concentrate on what is actually going on at the border. And if you do that, there is a tsunami wave of illegals that are crossing the border virtually every single day. And the Biden administration has engaged in a deliberate policy of overwhelming border agents, overwhelming judges, so that they cannot enforce the law. And so the signal is clear to individuals in Latin America, and it is clear to individuals in Somalia and Asia. Please come across our border, because the border is absolutely open, and the Biden administration prefers it that way. And basically, we are now witnessing the transformation of America right before our own eyes, and I think it's a long-term disaster for the country.
Again, we can we'll keep going back to the phones when we come back. If you want to get into the broadcast, call now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Now, are you one of the people that says, this is not on my radar, it doesn't affect me? Or do you care about this issue and feel like the Biden administration is failing us? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, and again, I want to thank everybody for this. We just finished our month of May, and your support of the ACLJ is incredible. During this break, we got a special. We're going to play a little bit of the song that Logan's team put together, kind of a celebration of the upcoming summer and a bit of freedom. So we're going to talk about that for those on Facebook and on our other social media platforms. So stay tuned for that.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Back to Secular. So let's start taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Richard in California, online one. Hey, Richard.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, and God's blessings to ACLJ and all you guys. I'm just shaking my head here, and I actually my whole body's shaking because it's very frustrating to see what's going on here. First of all, here they tried to impeach a president because of a lousy phone call, and here these people are destroying this country. This country is a sovereign nation. It has borders. This president, any president is elected to protect the American people and to protect the borders, and this is just going crazy. And what's happening is whatever decisions they're making doesn't affect them. It affects all of us common people down here on the street. And it's just really outrageous what they're doing. They're destroying this country.
Well, it doesn't just affect people on the border either. I mean, Andy, you and I have talked to this. They, once they come in, they use the transportation systems, including the interstates, as a way to spread this problem up throughout the entire country. There's no place that's immune from this.
That's exactly correct, Jay. The entry into the border is just the beginning of the increase in criminal activity, sex trafficking, child trafficking, cocaine, methamphetamine, other kinds of drugs that are all being brought in from South America via Central America, use the transportation system provided by the extensive interstate highways that we have in the United States. And so it's not just a southwestern United States problem. It's an America-wide problem. It happens in Georgia. It happens up the East Coast. It happens in the Midwest and so forth. Why do you think there were 22 shootings in Miami this weekend? 22 shootings in Miami, Florida, the city that I was born and raised in this weekend. And I bet you if you look at those carefully and examine them, you will see that a lot of those shootings were probably prompted by activity that can find its genesis in what is happening in the southern border.
Well, I think that this is the whole point. I mean, you know, Jackie on Facebook writes, had the Biden administration not see the situation become so unmanageable, because under President Trump, things were so restrictive at the border. We were building the wall. He was being mocked for building the wall. We were sending people back. They were calling it mass deportations. Yeah, mass deportations of illegal immigrants back to their home. Not to some bad place, just back home. It may not be as good as the United States, but it's their home. And we have a legal process of immigrating to the U.S. for economic reasons to better your life. There's that. And then there's an asylee process for asylum seekers. But what you don't have is so you had mass deportations, you had building the wall, and people ultimately said, it's not worth the risk. It's not worth paying the coyotes $5,000 to try and get through this because I'm not going to. They're just going to send me right back. We also had the stay in Mexico policy. How many people do you think just left Mexico after that policy and went back home? Thousands of people. Because they knew they didn't have a really good claim for asylum. So you had all those policies were reversed on day one of the Biden administration. On day one. They created this crisis. It was under control. Not perfect, but under control. For a border that size, that's pretty good. And they then created a crisis because they can't allow any good policies from the previous administration to stand.
No, and then Harry, they have the gall to say, well, we're going to build some of that wall. Just finish up the gaps.
Absolutely. Although I must give them full marks for one thing, insincerity. Essentially, they have no real interest in enforcing the law. I think that is absolutely clear. Nonetheless, they want to tell the American people that the border is closed. Well, of course it's not closed. I think the Democrats' strategy is, again, to transform America and to create an oligarchy controlled by rich, influential people who want to take control over each of our lives under the duplicitous rhetoric of climate change.
Yeah, well, they use climate change, and then you've got Border Patrol officials saying basically they have been abolished because, Wes, they can't do their job.
They absolutely cannot do their job. And, you know, delusion, they say, is believing what at some level you know to be factually untrue. When you hear Biden and Harris and Mayorkas talk about the border is secure, the border is closed, they are attempting to delude themselves, because at some level they know that is absolutely not true. I was also mystified and in a bad way amused by Vice President Harris's statement concerning her reaction to this and how she's going to fix the root causes of the crisis at the border, a crisis, of course, that they refuse to call a crisis. She said there are two principles guiding her work. One, people don't really want to leave home and come to America. That's factually not true. But secondly, she says we must give the people in Central America hope. Well, they're giving them hope, Jay, because they're allowing them to come here with impunity, to come into our country, to not be tracked, and to stay forever. Yep. That is giving them false hope, but hope.
Yeah, right. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Deborah in Texas on line 4. Hey, Deborah.
Hi.
You're on the air.
I live in Texas. I've lived here my whole life. The border has never been this bad ever, and I'm 56 years old. So I've lived around that border for 56 years now. And to have Harris blatantly disregard the fact that we have immigrants coming into this country that are piggybacking drugs, are sexually abusing children, are trafficking humans, she's got to be nuts.
No, one of our experts here said plausible deniability, I think is what Harry said. And Andy, that's what they're doing. This is plausible deniability. I don't have to go there. I don't have to see it. Therefore, I'll just deal with it at 90,000 feet instead of on the ground where it's happening.
Look, Jay, that's the whole thing that you do. You simply ignore it by not looking at it. If you go there, you own it. I don't know what's going on, and I don't want to know what's going on. It's like a bishop who once said when they were baptizing a child, and they said, "Bishop, do you know that there's alcohol in that punch?" And he says, "No, I don't, and don't you tell me." And that's exactly what is happening here. I don't want to know, and don't you tell me.
Let's go to final call of the day. Glenn in Colorado on line 2. Hey, Glenn.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know, I've talked to some of my leftist friends recently about this very subject, and they don't believe any of it. And the reason they don't is because the left, their news media, their social media, their information media like Google, is covering their tracks by censoring all this. They never hear it. And when I try to tell them about it, they say they don't believe it because they don't hear it on their sources. So I think that's one of the main problems. It's all being censored to the left.
Well, I think it goes to our point, which is that if you don't show it, if there's not images, and you don't talk about it, you don't go there, and you go to other countries to handle it diplomatically in fancy meetings where everybody's got suits and ties on, that's what they show. And it looks like they're doing their job, except for they are ignoring what's actually happening at the border. This is the biggest problem with the border issue. We live in a kind of two Americas right now, depending on where you get your media. There's reality media, and then there's Biden media. In Biden media, you can post a photo of yourself leading into Memorial Day as vice president, and the left doesn't get upset either. They don't think it's a big deal. I've never seen a politician do that in history. I mean, politicians are usually self-interested enough to their staff to know that if they're going to post a happy, smiling picture of the politician, maybe it's their birthday or something, but like not on Memorial Day weekend. That's something that would usually be pretty politically damaging. But if the media doesn't focus on it and they don't spend a lot of time on it, especially the media you go to, well, then it's like it never happened. And that's a lot about the border and the crisis at the border. It's like it's not happening unless you have to show it to people. Let them see it for themselves. The administration is not going to be doing that.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.